Yes, welcome to the Greasy Pole Podcast, episode number 13, lucky number 13 of the Greasy Pole Podcast, not the Pushing Rubber Podcast. This is your favorite radio program coming to you live on the infected airwaves all around the world, where we're all dying of the chop sick virus. That's right. This is Adam Piggott. I'm feeling very well, thank you. I know that a lot of you have been very worried. A lot of you have been saying prayers to a God in whom you do not believe for my health and happiness. And I just want you to know that those prayers have been answered and I'm right back and ready to go. And I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling hip. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling like, you know what I'm feeling, great one? I'm feeling like I walk into a local cafe and there are no pictures on the walls by local artists. That's how I'm feeling. Because there's nothing worse than local artists. And I thought that today when I was in Leiden here in the Netherlands and I couldn't go into any cafes. And I thought the one positive of this is I don't have to be subjected to so-called art by local artists. I don't think there's anything worse. Great one. How are you?
Yes. I'm a lot better than I was about 30 seconds ago, because that was one of those moments that is both hilarious and true at the same time, and probably so hilarious because it is so true. Yeah, local artists are fucking terrible, and maybe
they are the pits of the world. They're the pits of the world.
They are. I mean, you go around here, yep. You go into coffee shops and the breweries and stuff, and yeah, it's these terrible ass local artists. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, great. So this is an 8-year-old with a box of crayons, The kid wants $300 for this little 4x4 drawing that he did.
And the worst thing of all is that the establishment will have a big sign up saying proudly supporting local artists. Yes, and there's nothing to be proud of.
No, there's not.
There's nothing to be proud of at all.
Nothing to be proud of.
I think if we could get rid of local artists everywhere, the world would be a better place.
In what? Your post a while back about art, about we're in the dark ages and stuff, but you compared the art from the dark ages the modern. This modern art stuff, it's absolutely fucking terrible.
Well, that's what it's designed to be.
Right.
It's a giant obvious finger in the eye, and the more money that they hand each other and the more they rub each other on the back, the more that they win. I suppose, mm-hmm. The more that we have to accept that you'll go to the Tate Museum of Modern Art or something like this, and it will just be horrendous shit, or Mona in Tasmania or something like this, and then they refer to the Dark Ages as, you know, the Dark Ages, and yet they produced art that was incredibly superior to what we're doing now. So we are actually living in a dark age, And that's what it kind of clicked for me, was it's like, if you were living in a dark age, would you register that you're living in a dark age? You know, would the sky be darker? You know, would it be really cloudy or something like that? But the thing is, you wouldn't. It's something that's ipso facto projected onto you by historians. And in the whole progressive sanctum of the totem pole of where everything is, you know, I mean, historians are really, really, really low. So to have these people, you know, pronounce that you're living in a dark age is ridiculous. So I thought I'd take it upon myself to do that for the epoch in which we currently find ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I actually do. And I think you're right. Most people certainly don't recognize they're living in a dark age. But I think we're living in a dark age, and I think I recognize it just because, you know, for reasons like, as you and other people have said, there is this, if you want to call it a war, for lack of a better term, a war on beauty going on right now, being pushed by so many people. And I'm sure we can come up with lots of reasons why we think this is happening. But I mean, yeah, you look at modern art and it's just this ugly stuff. And everyone walking around like pretend. What amazes me, but it really doesn't because people are stupid, is all the people who look at these things and think, oh, look how beautiful that is. Like it's a couple of boxes. It's like some boxes stacked on top of each other. Or, you know, the piss
and
Christ.
If you criticize it, they say, well, you couldn't come up with that. But the correct response is, yes, because I'm not a retarded moron.
Right. Or you just don't understand it, which again, well, yes, because I'm not a retarded moron.
Exactly. I don't have undiagnosed Down syndrome.
Right. I have eyesight and depth perception and, you know, some creativity.
And I think I know where it all began. So,
really,
I use Facebook.
I'm sorry.
Are you?
Yes.
I use Facebook to. I belong to a few little groups on Facebook that feed me material. It's a lazy way of gathering up, hoovering up, I suppose would be the best way to do it, hoovering up material. You'd be surprised how many of my pieces come out that way when I just go, oh, fuck, what am I going to write about? Anyway, one of the little groups that I'm a member of on Facebook is one called Lost Perth. Perth, of course, is a city in which I was born and grew up in Western Australia. And it's basically dedicated to showing, you know, old images of Perth, how it once was from you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and blah, blah, blah. Whenever they show a photograph of a day in the life of that's pre-1967, the women will all be wearing flowing dresses. And the men will be dressed in suits and hats. Smart. Everyone looks like they've made an effort. And then 1968 onwards, everyone kind of looks like they just rolled out of bed and are on their way to the beach. It's an amazing... Did you read the thing I wrote or I spoke about my podcast the other week about this fashion at the moment for leopard skin dresses and stuff like that?
I've not listened to that one yet.
Okay, so I was out a couple of weeks ago. I just went for a weekend away with some buddies from work to one of the Dutch islands off the coast up here. Great little island, fantastic. But I noticed the preponderance of women and even men dressed with leopard skin clothing, scarves, hats, jackets, pants, track suits, complete outfits. And I pointed it out to my two friends that I was with, and once you noticed it, you just saw it everywhere. It was absolutely everywhere, this leopard skin motif, which in the past was restricted to, you know, Italian women over the age of 55 and Russian prostitutes. Apparently it's a vogue now. Apparently it's a thing. Even we saw kids, like 12-year-old girls with leopard skin outfits on. Okay, fuck the vinyl. So it's kind of like that. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You notice it everywhere. It's like if you buy a car that's a particular brand, when you drive around and you first bought it, you notice everyone else who's got the same car. It's the same sort of thing. So back to the photos. It really is. Once I started picking up on this, I was like, hang on a sec. You know, here's a shot of the Perth Royal Show. Everyone's wearing suits, hats, and lovely dresses. The women look feminine, the men look masculine. And here it is a couple of years later, and can't even tell the difference between the two sexes. And it's still black and white photos. What's going on? And that was the moment, because I've been actually getting to a point here. And thank you for letting me just monologue like this. I'm doing a real Aaron Clary at the moment. which I despise. That was the moment when he was attacked. And it was attacked on all sides. It was attacked in architecture. It was attacked in music. It was attacked in literature, art, and in fashion, in dress. And it was right when we were born. So we've been fucked from the get. That's your cue to speak.
Sorry, I was basking in the glory of your Clary-like monologuing there. Yeah, I mean, we think we have the same phenomenon here, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to follow that with. I think, yeah, there it is. It's been identified. Don't know what we do about it.
So it's like, when you see art by local
artist.
Yeah, I know. When you see local artists, it should read art by talentless who have made no effort to understand their craft and are trying to SpongeBob off the coattails of who knows what. Some fuckwit who has a suck that's decomposing in a tank of formaldehyde or something. So it really is, you know, it sums everything up. And now, of course, we're in a moment in time of pestilence.
Ah,
but
yes.
We've been living 50 years. It's only just caught up with us, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, we were sort of due for something like this. I mean, with all of the people running about and nobody washing their hands is, you know, I've been bitching about lately. The thing that all of a sudden now everybody's discovered disinfecting surfaces and washing their hands. It's like, well, yes, the fact that you haven't done this in so long, it sort of explains to some extent why this is happening.
How do you think San Francisco is and places like that are coping with this thing? Is that like they let people piss and shit and jerk off in the streets?
Well, but if nobody's in the streets because of the quarantine, I guess it doesn't really matter that much.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. So if where do thousands of homeless people go when there's a quarantine? Do they magically disappear or have they been offed?
that's a great question. I actually wondered that about here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins because they closed the Old Town Library early on when all this started, which is where all the homeless people congregate and go to the bathroom and hang out. And then I saw just recently on their interwebs that now the city has opened up one of their community centers as a place for the homeless to go and hang out. So don't worry, we're going to keep the homeless people alive because, you know, homeless people are one of those groups of people the government wants to keep them alive so that they can point to them and say, look how evil you white people are because you've made all these people homeless. And so give us
you've
tax
made all these
money.
White people homeless.
Yes, exactly. So no, we're not going to let the homeless people die because they look really good when you're begging for money. However, speaking of begging for money, I want to back up 1 second because you are cruising right ahead and go back to the local artist. Because this also ties into something I was going to talk about on my podcast, but this is a great time to bring it up. So here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, we have this tradition of people around here trying to start up artist co-ops. And so the latest one...
fucking hell. What is it? 1969?
Yes. So the latest one...
Can't they get an original fucking idea in their brains?
No. So the latest
haven't
one...
Haven't they seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Hey, can I do my fucking Clary monologue or not?
Nah.
Okay. So the latest one was called the Downtown Artery, and it was in downtown, shockingly enough. Oh, and so it was your standard artist co-op. And I'm walking around about a week or so ago, right before everything really got closed down, and I noticed, oh, look, it's gone out of business. And I stopped and I thought to myself, but wait a minute. How do they not get this? Because here's the thing, and I've, as a photographer, I've had people try to invite me to join their photography co-ops, right? Oh, we'll have this shared space and a shared studio and yada, yada, yada. But the thing is, here's the problem with every artist. Well, I think this is the major problem with every artist co-op, and that they don't understand. You've got all these artists, and none of them have any money because no one wants what they have. And so they think, well, wait, if we all come together and form a co-op collectively, we'll have enough money and we'll we can have this space. But the problem is, if you take 20 people, excuse me, 20 artists, they're not people, 20 artists who have no money, and you put them together in one place, you still have no money. It's like you have no business model. Nobody is coming in there and buying your terrible art to pay your rent for the downtown artery. And thus, it is gone.
This is,
thankfully, because it was a pox. A bigger pox than the Wuhan virus. But it was a pox upon Fort Collins.
This is why you got to admire Adolf Hitler. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, he gets rejected by the Viennese art school. And instead of going, Adolf could have gone off and done this. He could have formed a co-op. Yeah. He could have got 19 other losers together to not pay the rent and not sell their stuff. But did he do that? No. He went off and became a dictator, a fascist dictator, and killed millions of people. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler. Look how many jobs he created.
How many jobs did he create? Just the autobahns.
I mean,
think of the autobahns. Think of the tank traps. I mean, it takes a lot of slave labor to dig those things out. You know, some of those are still there. They can't get rid of them. 70 years later. Now, I tell you what, that's doing the job properly.
That's a legacy.
Did you know in Vienna, the flak towers, the anti-aircraft flak towers, these gigantic flak towers, are still in the center of Vienna, these concrete flak towers, because they can't get them down, you know? So it's illegal in Austria to even mention the war of Nazis, and yet they're dominated by like several fucking gigantic flak towers that look like at any moment they're going to grow legs and stalk over the city like something out of fucking Empire Strikes Back. It's hilarious.
And I mean,
good old Uncle Adolf, gets rejected by the art school, and says, "Fuck this! I'm gonna destroy Europe.
I'm gonna make something of my life." And I mean, think about how think about it.
Look, they'll still be talking about him in 1,000 years' time. It's guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Every, you know, whatever replaces the internet, every conversation, his name will come up within the first 30 seconds.
Ah, I
mean, and look at how many people are still making a living off of Hitler. Look how many people. Oh, remember the Holocaust? Give us money. Oh, World War II? Give us money. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people making a living.
I get called literally Hitler all the time. Hitler.
Do you literally Hitler get called literally Hitler?
Like, no, not literally. Literally.
La, literally. Lit rally. Yes. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
All right. God, this does sound like the Clary podcast, talking about Hitler, long-winded monologues.
Yeah. He doesn't talk about Hitler, does he?
That was a joke. John Steele has been fucking with Clary on Twitter. You're not on Twitter. John Steele has been posting things on Twitter, like making up quotes.
I don't know who John Steele is.
Okay. It's okay. It's just one of Clary's friends, which is hilarious. But he's been posting this stuff on Twitter, like making fake quotes of Cappy saying bad things about the Jews. It's pretty hilarious.
That's great. I always love how they keep rolling out Holocaust survivors for two reasons. One,
oh my God,
you know, it's 75 years ago, so you know, you're getting long in the tooth.
Right.
Number two. Number two.
Taking a number two.
Yeah. Gee, a lot of people survived these death camps, didn't they? I mean, I thought those Nazis were stone cold killers.
I know.
And yet, we've got all hundreds of thousands of survivors. So, well, I don't know. I don't know, Marjorie. I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe they were all local artists. And the Nazis were like, oh, we can't exterminate these guys. They're so fucking talented. I'm dying. Oh, I'm crying. I can't see.
That's a great point. It is. It's like there's a fucking Holocaust survivor around every fucking corner.
Oh, you're fucking, I tell you what, I was lining up to get eggs today, you know, at the supermarket.
Right.
And I bumped into the woman in front of me and she said, don't you know I'm a Holocaust survivor? I was like, oh, fucking hell, here we go again.
Oh, my God.
Have you had to line up for food yet?
No. Well, I mean, no more than normal. It's been, you know, depending on the speed
McDonald's
of the
doesn't
cashier.
Count.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I mean like out the door and down the street.
Oh, fuck no. There's nothing. The lines at all the supermarkets around here, I mean, unless this has changed in the last 48 hours, are perfectly fine. I mean, there's no toilet paper because I still haven't figured out what the fuck the rush on the toilet paper is. And...
yeah, that was bizarre.
It's very bizarre. I don't understand it. But at least it's given us the opportunity for lots of toilet paper jokes, I suppose. We got that going for us.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. No, actually, there really haven't been. There's been a few memes that are like a bicycle locks on toilet paper. Eh.
Yeah.
But, right. You know, I mean, I don't get it. Everyone went for toilet paper.
Right.
In one direction, yeah?
Yeah.
And I went for booze. I got beer, I got wine, I got scotch, right. And I got rum. You know, I made sure that I was liquided up. And everyone else was going for... literally, this is... okay. This is literally Hitler what happened. So, this is about a week ago. I go down to the supermarket, and the supermarket has been stripped by locusts like the plague has happened. I'm like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
And that's fine, because I stocked up about 4 weeks ago because I saw all this happening. And then there's a fantastic specialty liquor store specializing in Scotch whiskey, but they've got lots of other alcohol as well. And so I went in right next to the supermarket, like literally Hitler right there.
Right.
And I go in and the guys, and there's a line outside the supermarket. There's a line outside the pharmacy. And this guy's sitting in his massive store with probably a couple of million euros worth of booze sitting there by himself. So I go in and he goes, hey, and I'm like, hey. So I pick up a couple of bottles of really nice scotch, a couple of bottles of rum, get a bit of other bits and pieces, get him to deliver some wine to my house because I didn't want to walk out with three or four cartons. And we're like, I said to him, have you been busy? He's like, nah. And then we both turn and look out the window and there's this line going down the street outside the pharmacy for people to get, I don't know, cough drops or something. And the thing is, I heard that the coronavirus could be killed by, you know, decent alcohol strength liquor. And he and I kind of look at each other. It's like, eh, okay. No, ring him up. Fuck if I know.
Get your booze. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm boozed up.
All right. Well, excellent. I didn't have to do any stockpiling.
I'm boozed up, and I've got a can of beans and sausage.
Ooh, gourmet cooking. All right.
Yeah. So that should see me through. The last few days I've been terrorized by two ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah, two of them, male and female. And the female is a bitch. Fuck. So I started feeding these ducks, and there's one swan that comes in as well. And the swan's great because the swan shits all over the ducks. So it's like, fuck off, I'm a swan. And the ducks are like, yeah, right. Anyway, so I got my decking over the water there, and I was like, every time they came in, I was like, oh, cool, I can take some bread and I can feed the ducks. And I did this for like 4 or 5 days because the winter kind of finished. It's been like a 7-month winter here. It's been obscene. Mm. It hasn't been particularly cold. Like, it never really got below zero, but it's been 7 months of horizontal rain and howling winds. And I tell you what, it's been absolutely shit. So the last week or so has been the first time in this time I could go out. And so I started feeding the ducks. And I did this for about a week. And then suddenly I walk out there and suddenly the ducks are there. And they're like, all right, where's the food, mate? Where's the food? It's like, oh, that's a bit of pressure. Okay, I'll get some bread. So I can bring the bread, you know. And then like 2 hours later, I walk out and the ducks are back. Where's the food? It's like, hang on. I gave you the food like... a couple of hours ago. It's one feeding a day, and then they jump up onto my deck and they're stalking me. Where's the food? Where's the fucking bread? No, oh, fucking hell, man. And this, it's just like, it's a bit confronting, you know, these ducks. And I haven't got to the worst bit yet. They shit all over my deck, like they crap everywhere. And so the last couple of days I haven't fed the ducks. I've been like pushing them off my deck with broom. It's like, get off my fucking deck. Oh, where's the bread? Oh, get off my deck. Oh, where's the bread, you fucking bastard? So it's been a bit of a battle back and forth. So don't make my advice is don't make friends with ducks because they crap everywhere. However, if it gets to the point that I run out of my one can of beans and sausage, I've got two ducks that are following me around and I can probably jump on them pretty quick. So there's that.
You know, listening what to that story, that, well, yeah, actually I do. I was going to say, what you described sounds exactly like the homeless people in Fort Collins. If you give them anything, they'll follow you around. They shit all over the place. And if it gets bad enough, they are cookable and edible.
All right, so they're like ducks.
They are like ducks. I mean,
Right.
The ducks are cuter.
So it's kind of like the Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They're witches.
They're witches.
Because they weigh the same as a duck.
Mm.
It's true though. I'm not making this up. I've been terrorized by two ducks. Terrorized in my own home. It's appealing.
No, I believe you.
Racist. Racist is what it is.
Speciesist.
Racist. I prefer to say racist.
Oh, okay. Well, just fine.
Just because that term means so little now. I mean, why not extend it to ducks?
Absolutely. You're right. What was I thinking? Well, I mean, obviously I'm racist, so I mean, we can't really go.
Well.
Fucking A. Ducks.
The worst thing about the term racist actually falling from grace and people don't give a fuck about it anymore is that I won't be special. Because I'm the only one who embraces being called a racist that I know of, everyone that I know. Right. So when the slur is not working anymore, I kind of drop back into the fold, if you know what I mean. That's a bit hard to take. And that's why I'm working on my transphobia at the moment.
Oh, I thought you already had the transphobia down. Are you like refining it or what?
Well, no, I've got it down. I've got nothing else, great one.
Okay.
Give me something. I mean, what's going to happen when political... What's going to happen to you and I?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to us when political correctness goes the way of the dodo? What are we going to rail about? What are you going to podcast about if this virus causes the last 50 years of progressive crap to get thrown out and women go back to wearing dresses and worshipping their husbands and stop working in the workplace and social security stuff? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Have you thought about that? It's like Save the Whales people who actually get whaling banned. They wake up the next morning and they go, you know, they got a massive hangover because it was a big party the night before because, you know, they saved the whales. And the next day they're like, oh, well, what do we save now? You know what I mean?
Global warming.
That could be you.
It could
well,
be.
Well, if everything gets thrown out, everything gets thrown out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, the last couple of weeks we've gone from China is awesome and hug a Chinese person to show that you're not racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right,
the mayor of Florence, fucking hell. So literally we've gone from that to, you know, if you're a Chinese person and you go out in public, you're likely to be stoned to death. That's how quickly it's changed.
Well, where is the stoning of Chinese people happening? Or, you know.
Well, I'm being slightly metaphorical there.
Right,
and
no.
Slightly hopeful in my xenophobia.
Got it. Well, I mean, like around here, of course, I don't know. I haven't really noticed firsthand any shifting. But then again, I also have to say I haven't been out that much lately and interacting.
Well, you're not supposed
and when
to
I, and when I, yeah, well, there's that too. But I mean, and when I'm out, there aren't other people out. Although the one thing I have noticed when I'm out and I run into other people, like everyone that I have spoken to has been actually quite cheerful, and a number of people have all just come straight up with, yeah, I think this is all exaggerated and overblown. Like, I have not personally, other than Dallas, who owns Weyland-Yutani, who thinks we're all about to die, everyone else, but he's a woman, everyone else I've run into, including women, including young women, have all just been like, yeah, this is completely overblown.
Okay,
so
this is interesting because here in the Netherlands, it's exactly the opposite.
Really?
So everyone's freaking out. It's the city that I live in is a ghost town. So today's Saturday. I went in at about 8:30. I rode my bicycle in. There was literally no one on the streets. There was literally Hitler, no one on the streets. And went to my local butcher, go in there, and everyone's like keeping at least 2 meters of distance. So when you walk in, everyone takes a step away from you, which is interesting. If multiple people walk in, because then you're all like trying to all hang on. Where does that like you know what I mean? And
right.
And then the market. There's a market on Saturday that takes up the whole of the inner city that was cancelled. And the people that were in there were mass buying stuff and getting it vacuum pack sealed. So of course I don't need anything at all. In fact, I could barely fit anything in my freezer if my life depended on it. But I said, oh yeah, vacuum pack all this stuff for me. Everyone else is doing it. And people are like, it's at my work is shut down for 2 weeks. I got the phone call yesterday, completely shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And staff are, you know, if you're outside at the moment in the Netherlands and you involuntarily cough, it's about the same as if you dropped your pants and started jerking off, I'd say at this point, without much exaggeration.
Interesting.
So no one here is saying it's bullshit. Everyone here is. Like I've had these conversations. I'll say to someone, "Oh, I think this is pretty crap," and they'll go, "Yeah, yeah, but if you get it, you're gonna die." what part of I think this is all crap did you not understand? The bars and restaurants were all shut down here over a week ago. Like
yep.
Just boom, done. It was 6 o'clock Sunday night. So it's a week ago. Yeah, 6 o'clock Sunday or Saturday, Sunday night. Last week that everything was shut down, but right. Everything was shut down in the center apart from the butcher that I went to, thank fuck, and well, that's the only thing I went to, but like clothes stores, perfume stores, hairdressers, they're all shut.
Yeah, they shut down the hairstylist and nail salons and tattoo parlors here. They did that just a couple of days ago. I got a haircut in literally Hitler the day before they shut it down, because I kind of saw that one coming. And restaurants and bars and all that stuff got shut down, I guess, about 2 weeks ago now. But
are you still porting? Are you still sporting the short haircut?
Oh yeah, it's very short now because it was nice and freshly cut. But and I mean, but like, and going in supermarkets, I mean, I'm still making my trip to the supermarket like every 3 days or so to get fruits and veggies and stuff. And every once in a while, I see some random person who's like hoarding everything in sight, like the woman I saw the other day who got an entire shopping cart full of frozen Eggo waffles. But everybody else,
what are they?
Eggo, like a waffle. Eggo is a brand. It's frozen waffles. She had a shopping cart full of frozen waffles. That's what she was hoarding. And when I say shopping cart full, I mean full. But like everybody else, nobody's running around. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's panicking. People are buying too much toilet paper. But everybody seems...
The homeless are off the
streets. The homeless are off the streets. It's kind of nice. You go outside, there's nobody out there. Downtown is deserted because almost everything is closed. Here, restaurants can still do like takeout orders and delivery orders. You just can't go in the restaurant and eat. Too bad you can't do that with
what
bars.
About obviously, I'm assuming your line of work is shut down.
Oh, yeah. We have every event we had lined up for the next 2 months canceled. So, yeah.
So, are you still getting paid or?
No, I am technically unemployed.
Okay. Yeah. So, are you going to be eating out of rubbish bins pretty soon, or have you been the grasshopper and the ant, and you save for a rainy day?
Oh, I mean, I'm good for a solid four. If I had no more money whatsoever, I'm still good for about another solid 4 months.
That's good.
Yeah. Nice. No. I've been stashing, and I am eligible for unemployment insurance, assuming that I can ever register for it, because the state of Colorado's website where you apply to get unemployment, shockingly enough, is not capable of keeping up with the thousands and thousands of people that our governor just put out of work by shutting everything down.
Yeah. The Dutch government has guaranteed businesses 90% of their costs, including wages here.
Really? Holy crap.
Yeah. But the taxes are pretty high in Holland, so I can understand how they could do that.
Okay.
Like, Holland is probably the most taxed country I've ever lived in, and I thought Italy was bad. The good thing about Holland is everyone follows the rules, so everyone gets...
Right.
Everyone gets fucked in the ass. Whereas in Italy, it seemed like I was the only one getting fucked in the ass. So, it's much nicer when you're in it together. You know what I mean? Like if you're a 14-year-old girl who's been roped into you know, porn movies, it's much better if you can get all your friends involved as well.
Yeah,
you feel a lot better about yourself. Yeah. So you know, we're all fine here on that account. I get the feeling, though, that in a couple of months, cash is going to be pretty well king if this keeps going.
That could happen.
Yeah. It should be interesting to see.
Yeah. Or if it gets bad enough, you know, booze and cigarettes will be king. Because...
Do you think cigarettes? Because so many people don't smoke anymore.
Well, I mean, around here, we got plenty of smokers. And the smokers will be desperate enough, you know. You only need a couple of really desperate smokers who are out of smokes, you know. It's like, well, yes, I have a pack of cigarettes, but, you know, here's the list of what I'll need in return. So, yeah, barter system.
Because I kind of think coffee.
Oh, yes. I remember you talking about
that.
Because
Our whole modern civilization revolves around coffee at every step of the way.
Yep.
In fact, I would say that coffee has replaced cigarettes. Like, they demonized cigarettes and said cigarettes were bad.
Okay.
And everyone just replaced it with coffee, which is why you always, every couple of weeks in a major mainstream media publication, you'll get a piece telling you that coffee will prevent cancer of the left nut or something like that. It's like this constant thing, how good coffee is for. One cup of coffee a day. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my coffee, but basically when you look at 1940s Western society and 2020, cigarettes and coffee have basically changed, have basically swapped each other out as far as I'm concerned. So high quality freeze-dried coffee, I reckon that's the gold dust of the future if this keeps going.
Or around here, locally roasted free trade coffee, because you know
that's like the coffee version of
local artists. Right? Local. Oh my god.
Because that shit coffee, right?
Oh God, yes. I've had some. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Oh man, but you know, man, we've got the beans, and we grind them.
We roast them right here.
And we get the humidity. We roast them right here, man. Yeah. We've got the essence of 15 virgins just seeping into the coffee.
And they come from a small town in South America. Oh, and we go down there.
In Guadalupe. And Guadalupe, the whole village got massacred in the 1980s.
Yeah, by Ronald Reagan. Massacred.
Yeah. Oh, he was such a bastard.
Oh, he's such
and
a bastard.
And the Nicaraguans, whatever the thing was, yeah. Anyway, and it's all free trade and fair wages.
Always fair
so
wages.
Your cup of coffee will be $27.50.
Yeah. And the coffee beans are picked by transgendered virgins.
Yes. Transgendered.
With tattoos.
With tattoos. Who haven't. Hey, I saw a thing on Ace of Spades today that there's a touring show. This is not a joke. Well, I wish it was a joke. It's a fucking joke on so many levels. There's a touring show of transvestites that are all Down syndrome.
Oh, God. No.
I'm not joking.
I can believe this.
And it's exploitation. Apart from the fact that they want to actively abort these people, to then convince them. Which and look, to convince a down person, you just have to say, "Here's a cookie." Yeah, let's be honest. It's funny because it's true.
Oh
so.
My God.
Trans testicle Down syndrome people is the pits of the earth on every level. It is so evil. I don't even know what to say. And it's kind of like the blackface, you know, touring shows of 100 years ago. And the same people who were promoting and supporting the Down syndrome trans testicle touring shows would in 100 years be deploring them and saying what a terrible thing it is,
right?
Or it was, but that's what's going on at the moment. That's how we. You know what? I'm kind of for this plague to clean us out a bit. Yeah, clean us out. Yeah, I might get taken. Oh, clean me out as well. Fuck it.
I'll take my chances.
Just clean us out.
Yeah,
I'll take my chances. And that's the other thing. Great one is how pussy everyone's being at the moment. Really? Really? There's a plague that apparently is 5% deadly to you if you're over the age of 80, Asian, and you like to take it in the ass.
Right.
And everyone in the Western world is running around with their hair on fire. It's like, really? Okay. Yeah. You're not really storming the beaches of Normandy here, are you?
No. There's not really a high chance that the average person is going to die from this.
No, unfortunately.
I was about to go there myself. Right. Unfortunately, if only there was something that would target the average people and get rid of them.
Well, I just like it to target the fat ugly, lesbian, transgender, gender pronoun. You can refer to me as them, they, zay, or zo, feminist, fucking fucktards. If it could target those people,
well, those are,
they get a virus that can target those people.
Well, those are the average people in Fort Collins, so there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're fine.
That's, yeah. We'll see where it goes.
We'll see where the biblical massacre takes us, eh?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, I heard you were giving me shit last week about not writing my latest book.
Oh, hey, probably. What? Yeah, I did give you shit. What was it? Why did I give you shit about that? How did I even get there? I don't remember what the setup was, but yeah, I was giving you some shit. I had to give you some shit. How's the book
going?
Well,
I gave you shit back on my last podcast because I asked how many books has the great one written? Answer, zero.
Zero. Hey, I have some free time now. So
it'll still be zero.
Zero. it's all right. But how is the book going?
Shit.
Ah, come on, man. Get on it. I want to read this, you fuckwit.
It's a really hard book to write. It's a really hard book to write. And the reason is I feel a sincere degree of responsibility to it, in a sense that guys will be reading this and expecting to know what to do at the end of it. So there's a little bit of pressure. There's no pressure on your shoulders when you're writing a couple of books about what you did in your life.
Sure.
The pressure is, can I make this flowy enough? Can the language be pretty enough? That's what I was invested in my first two books. Now it's like, you better get this right. And is it right? Like, I was all set with the book, and then my wife divorced me. Oh, okay. So it turns out that half the stuff that you knew, that you thought you knew, was a bucket load of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean? If you're going to be writing a book which is telling guys, you know, how to be a man in a feminized world, you better have your ducks in a row.
Or at least out on the porch begging for food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just...
All right. I get that.
You know what I mean?
No, I do. I totally get it. Sure. I agree. That is... Because, I mean, when I read this book, I'm going to be reading this book with an expectation of, okay, I'm going to learn something I didn't know, and I'm going to get something actionable, and I'm going to be able to use the information in this book to alter the things I do and get better results than I've gotten in the past. That's sort of my expectations of this book. And that's some fucking pressure for you, because I do know you want to get it right, and you want to do it right.
Yeah, you know, it's not a credibility thing in so much as it is a responsibility issue. That's how it runs for me. The credibility, of course, is attached to it. But so I write chapters, and then I look at it, and then I think about it, and then a week later I throw it away and go, oh, shit. Whereas my other two books, I just write the chapters and go back to it and go, I need to change this language. This doesn't flow, or this... You split the infinitive and the verb, you fucking moron. That's not the case now. Now's the case where I throw a whole chapter away just because I think, well, that chapter's not good. It's kind of like two steps forward, three steps back at the moment on the book front. And I know that I'm overthinking it, and that I should probably just blurt it out, get it done, put it out there, and whatever. Fuck yeah. But... It's not working out that way. If it doesn't get any better over the next 2 or 3 months, I think I'm just going to abandon it and move on to another project, to be honest with you. That's where I am right now. Because,
all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can't force these things, you know. I know that the book should be written. I know that it's an important book to write, I know that it's something that should be out there, but if it's not happening, then it's not happening, and maybe I'm not the guy to write it.
Right.
Maybe
if it's not done right, potentially it causes more damage.
Yeah. More harm than good. So I'm not interested in that sort of outcome. So I've always kind of been in my life, don't get me wrong, like my first book took me 6 years to write. This one shouldn't take me that long because I was learning on the first book the process of how to write a book. Now I know how to write a book. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't take this long. So yeah. I don't know. Ask me another question. Change the fucking subject. Heil Hitler! Maybe I should just ask myself, what would Hitler do?
You know?
Shoot a bunch of people?
Invading Poland won't really help.
No, it won't. I thought about it. A lot of Polish chicks.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, it'd be worth...
Borders are closed now, though, so invading Poland's kind of a bit trickier. If the borders were open, I'd consider it. Yeah.
Borders?
They closed the borders.
You can't close the borders. We have open borders.
It's amazing how this whole... The whole EU thing went to the wayside just with a little bit of chop sick panda.
Nice. I think that's great. I don't know that anybody here has woken up to the concept of closing borders yet. Borders. You know what I found amazing? So I'm reading shit on the interwebs, right? Everything has been closed down. The bars, restaurants, all this other stuff, except for apparently bars and restaurants in the airports. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why are the airports still functional? I mean, there's places like in California, they've actually started telling people not to go outside unless you're going to the store or you're dying or something. But the airports are still flying people in and out. So I don't think America has gotten the border concept yet. I don't think we've still got to the border concept.
Let me tell you how extreme it is over here, because I think Italy is the best example. And of course, I have a lot of Italian friends, and I have them on Facebook. One of them is the mayor of, she's the mayor of one of the councils in the valley in which I used to live. Mm. And she, of course, has been doing updates on Facebook because she's the mayor, so, you know.
Right.
She needs to do this. Lovely lady. I've known her for 20 years. Great girl. I know her and her husband very well. Anyway, she put something up this morning, which was basically about how one of her things that she likes to do is to go walk the dog very early in the morning up the cycle path that goes up the valley here, there in the mountains. And, like, we're talking, like, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So... Obviously, an activity that is not going to put anyone at risk.
Right.
And she is not doing that because of the virus, and she expects everyone else to have the same thing. So you're not allowed to go alpine skiing in the mountains by yourself in Italy at the moment.
Good God.
Let alone sit at a bar in an airport. And if you are doing it, then the police are going to be asking you what you're doing. That's where it is in Italy at the moment. And you have to, and this part I'm not joking, you have to have a note that you wrote to yourself. No, I'm not joking. You have to have a note that you wrote to yourself. Probably in crayon. No, I'm joking about that part. Where you explain why you've gone out and what you're doing. And with a date and a time on it. And if the police stop you, you have to immediately produce your note explaining what you're doing.
around here, they have started close. So when this first started, the federal government made all of the national parks access to them free. Then the local governments started closing down access to the parks because, again, we don't want people going outside because that's like, you know, the worst thing. My God, we don't want anyone going outside in nature. Even though, again, it's like, okay, that is like the least risky place for you to be is outside in a national park at the moment. And yeah, I suspect all of this staying indoors shit is actually, you know, the virus, the Wuhan virus, isn't going to be what does the real damage here. The real damage is going to be done by the economic collapse caused by shutting down all these businesses, but then taking all these people who don't go outside enough as it is, and now they're in their house with their windows shut and they have no sunshine and they have no fresh air and they're certainly not getting any exercise, binge watching, you know, whatever the Stranger Things or some other gay shit on Netflix. I'm just like, no, like telling people to go inside and to not go outside. No, you go the fuck outside, people.
Yeah. Well, basically, so there's a few stages here. First of all, they're radically driving the idea that we're not allowed to do anything unless it's approved by the state.
Right.
And the reverse onus of this is advanced by a disease. That's pretty handy.
Yep.
Then the same state gets to absolutely throw off any limitations at all as regards to spending.
Right.
And like here in the Dutch government is guaranteeing businesses 90% of their income. How much do you think that's fucking costing?
That's gonna add up fast.
And then we're isolating people into individual or even family units, which mm-hmm. of course are much easier to manipulate in that regard.
Right, sure, yeah. Isolated individuals can be easily manipulated, certainly.
Well, you know, you're not allowed to gather with more than X number of people. And
right.
I mean, shit, in Italy, you're not allowed to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk your dog by yourself on a deserted cycle path. Where's this going? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and other people, I can't take credit for thinking of this, but plenty of people have pointed out that, you know, the Wuhan virus has succeeded where the global warming wackos have failed for all these years. Because this is what the global warming wackos have wanted for ages, shutting down business, you know, people not going outside and touching their precious Mother Earth and, you know, more government control, yada, yada, yada.
Yep. So, you know, it's changing not by the day, it's changing by the hour. God.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can say about it, to be honest with you. There's not a lot you can say. You know, I imagine if it's like if you were the Blitz in World War II and the bombs were dropping. Well, Mildred, there's not a lot we can say about this right now. Well, there's not a lot we can say. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing that we can say right now or do is going to change what's happening.
No. And yeah, the destruction is just raining down. And yeah, you don't know. Like, I'm just always wondering, okay, so when are they going to announce, okay, now here in Colorado, in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, you can't go outside unless you're going to the grocery store. You know, like, you know, am I going to go out tomorrow, which I'm intending to go out tomorrow, and I might be walking down the street and the fucking cops are going to pull over and say, what are you doing outside? And I don't know. It could happen. It could not. But you don't fucking know.
Well, that's what's happening in Italy right now.
Right. And that's why I say maybe it is going to happen here. Who knows? Like I said, in California, I saw just today they've shut down like half the state and told people you can't go the fuck outside unless you have to. Of course, that's California, but where California goes, everybody else follows, because here in the United States, everybody wants to be like California, especially here in Colorado. Oh, but just in case you didn't know this, you know the one business that hasn't been shut down is the marijuana dispensaries. Those are essential.
Ah.
They literally, Hitler, California declared those to be essential businesses.
Wow.
So the bars are shut down, the restaurants are shut down, but you can still get your marijuana.
You can't in Holland. There, when they announced they were shutting all the bars and cafes and everything, the lines out around the block for the dope cafes were kind of crazy.
No.
Yeah. Hey, I saw an interesting thing on Twitter. Latest figures released by China Mobile. So it's the largest mobile phone.
Oh, okay.
China Mobile.
China Mobile.
I'll tell you what, I'll copy this and I'll put it in the chat here and see if you can open it.
All right.
There you go.
Got it, yeah.
Latest figures released by China Mobile show they've lost 8.1 million users in January, February. Where are those users now? Switched to other carriers, or they couldn't carry their phone to the netherworld?
Yep, I got it here. Oh my God, China Mobile. That's quite a drop.
That's quite a drop, isn't it?
That graph just plummets.
Goes down like a bucket of shit. 8.1 million users
million.
In January,
Holy
February.
Fuck.
Yeah. And like, you know, people around outside of the internet have been posting figures from China, and I'm like, Didact's reach a couple of days ago did a long post, and half his post, he was like, the first half of his post was telling us about how you couldn't believe a word out of the Chinese.
Right.
Which I agree with. And the second part of his post was quoting Chinese figures regarding to the Wuhan virus. I was like, dude, come on.
Right. One or the other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, I suppose I would quote the Chinese figures, but I don't know that I'd be able to quote them and take them seriously.
Right. Yeah. Quote these and take this seriously? That China Mobile lost 8.1 million users in the last 2 months.
Right. Well, I think on this particular one, like, if it's true, it's funny. And if it's not true, it's still funny. So,
yeah,
regardless of truth value, it does have entertainment value. So I think it's worth quoting for the entertainment value.
Yeah. Anyway, if they've got 8 million deaths, then the world is doomed, basically.
Yeah. Wait, can they have 8 million deaths? What the fuck is the population of China?
I don't know. A lot?
Hang on. Let me do quote-unquote research by typing something into Google real quick here. Population of China. 1.38 billion.
Right.
All right. I mean, I guess technically could have 8 million deaths. Never mind. Confirmed as what?
Well, either way you look at it, it's interesting.
Entertaining, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we've got anything more to go on this Wuhan virus.
we've Wuhan'd it out, yeah. It's pretty
murderous.
Wuhan.
Yeah. Are we going to call this the local artist episode?
I like that idea.
That's a good one, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's a lot better than any of the local artists. Oh God, what about open mic night? That's
Oh. It's like... Hang on. Poetry slam.
Oh, the poetry slam. Because I think at least with the local artist, you can look away. But the open mic night, yeah. You have to look at them and like you see the tattoos and you see the piercings and you see the fat. But then you also have to hear it. So it's like a multi-sensory experience.
I don't mind all of that stuff. It's the absence of talent that I can't stand.
Oh, okay.
If I've got an obscenely fat, tattooed, blue-haired, supposedly female person on the stage, and then she starts singing like Ella Fitzgerald, I'm cool. Yeah? I'm absolutely fine. Sure. I'm absolutely fine. It's the absence of talent. And then to compensate for that, the drive to push themselves forward even further in your face. Mm-hmm. The less talent that someone has at what they're trying to do, the more they compensate for that by being obnoxious and, you know, loud.
Yes.
So open mic night.
The more they're leaning into it. Horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And then looking at you like, you know, if you don't like me, you're a racist, sexist, misogynist.
Exactly.
Transphobic.
Right. And I get what you're saying about the lack of talent, too. That definitely factors. So if you got the lack of talent and the ugliness and everything else. But, you know, if there's a total lack of talent, but she's really hot,
I might be able to put up with it.
Oh,
no, yeah. I can't. You can't. It's just embarrassing. It's just if you're 18, you can put up with it. But not anymore. You can't do it. It's totally the absence of talent, because if you're up on the stage, if you're performing in some way where they feel your talent and your talent, if you're really talented and what you're doing is amazing, then it will affect how we look at you. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see these programs like, you know, Britain's Got Talent or something like that. And someone steps up who's not attractive at all and then sings like a fucking goddess, you look at her like she's a goddess. You're not looking at her like she's, you know, works in a fish and chip shop or something like that. So the talent in this context is everything. If you're really hot and you're in a beauty pageant, well, fair enough. Then you're there for what we're looking for. But if you're really hot, but you're talentless, but you're getting up on stage in an open mic night, it's not going to fly.
Well, I didn't say it was going to fly. I just said it was slightly more bearable.
No, it's not.
Well, it is for me.
So Cindy Crawford gets up and starts singing like cats doing their claws down a blackboard. How long are you going to put up with it? It's just not going to happen. And on top of that, she's got a look on her face like, if you don't approve of what you're doing, then, you know, the NKVD are going to have you up against the wall and shoot you. That's the thing I have. And poetry slams are the worst. I mean, I think the title of poet, whoever came up with the term poetry slam was actually on the money, because at any one of those events that I've had the misfortune to wander into by mistake, because I would never go to a poetry slam on purpose, at every one of those events I've wanted to slam my head into the wall. So it's an accurate description of what a poetry slam actually is.
Well, and they're all left wing. I don't think there's been any right wing poetry slams ever. I don't think there ever would be, but this might be an oxymoron.
It's a tautology. It's if you say poetry slam, it's inherently left wing. You know,
right.
You know. Left wing poetry slam.
No.
You know. It's like saying lesbian nun. It's like saying climate change.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the climate doesn't normally change.
No, it's static.
Static. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yay. Measured in what? Dog years? Oh, right. Dog years. Okay. Yeah. But open mic night, you're absolutely spot on there. That's always hideous.
Yes.
Always hideous. Like the only one of these that's bearable in any extent is karaoke. Because this is why karaoke works. Karaoke works because the premise is that everyone with the mic in their hand is shit.
Right.
That's the expectation. Yeah?
Yes.
And in fact, the more shit you are,
the better you are, right?
In a way, the better it is. Yeah. You know, if you could pull off your level of shitness.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got to be able to like really sing that song like Red Rain by Peter Gabriel. You've got to really be able to sing that, you know, and carry off the fact that you're total shit, but you're cool. Now that's what karaoke is. And that's why karaoke works. But open mic night, they take themselves seriously.
Oh yeah, and they tell you the story about how they wrote this song about their cousin's sister's brother who was dying of cancer, and what a tragedy it was, and you're supposed to share the grief.
No one's ever died of cancer before.
Grief. So they share the grief.
They take themselves seriously, and that is unforgivable. That's unforgivable. And for that reason alone, when I become supreme dictator of the world, they'll be amongst the first up against the wall.
We're going to set up little honey traps. Open mic night. And you let everybody gather in there. Then you lock the doors down and you pump the gas in.
No, that's too easy. You don't see their faces. No, you've got to drag them out of their homes at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it seems like a lot of work, but on the other hand, you would create a lot of jobs. Remember when Adam Piggott created all those jobs? What a great guy he was. He could have just been an author, but instead he created jobs.
The genius about dragging them out of their homes at 5 o'clock in the morning is letting them pack a suitcase. That's the really cruel thing, letting them pack a suitcase. You're allowed one suitcase each. Oh, there's hope. No, there's not. Hope.
We just know that you're going to pack your most valuable stuff, and this makes it easier for us to collect it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why gold teeth have gone out of fashion. All right, so let's end it there. This has been the Greasy Pole, and it has been a slippery slope this evening. We started with Adolf Hitler getting rejected by the Viennese Art School, and it's gone downhill from there.
We started with local artist, and we ended up with local artist. We didn't go downhill. We came full circle.
It's been a circle. It's been a circle, hasn't it?
It's the circle of life, Adam. And Wuhan virus is just a part of that circle.
Just a part of the circle.
Hopefully going to take some people out of the circle.
If you liked what you heard and you need some serious help, if you did, you can purchase my books. Pushing Rubber Downhill and Run Gut Full Cones.
I just spit water all over the place because you said that while I was taking a drink.
Oh, I'm sorry. Run Guts Pull Cones. You can subscribe to my podcast and my blog. Great one. Do you want to spruik whatever you've got to spruik?
Oh, fuck. Cynical Libertarian Society. You can find me on the interwebs at CYNLIBSOC.com, on the Twitterverse, where I'm hanging out now more than I should be because I had forgotten just how fucking pathetic and entertaining it is all at the same time. And buy my book when I write it, but I don't have one yet. So if I write one, I'll let you know. Don't worry. But you can buy Adam's books, through my Amazon affiliate link, if you want to be really nice to both of us, CLS.LINK. There, plugged, done.
Well done. Thanks for listening, guys. I don't know what
and girls
because this depends. Oh, we don't have any girls listening to this. If there's any,
that was the joke.
If there's any girls listening to this, you're not welcome. Go away. This will be up as soon as the great one manages to do whatever he has to do. So probably months or something like that. Tune in next time when we talk about probably Adolf Hitler, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. And we will literally talk about Hitler next time.
All right. Do you want to take us out?
Toodles. Stole that from Aaron Clary.
Ich danke Ihnen, Herr Oberbürgermeister, noch einmal für diesen Empfang und für das wunderschöne Geschenk und bitte Sie alle, der alten Stadt der Reichsparteitage, unseren deutschen Gruß zuzurufen. Nürnberg, heil!
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 Yes, welcome to Pushing Rubber. No, it's not Pushing Rubber. Oh, fuck! Let's try that again.